Good evening. Good to see you all this evening. Good to see you in your place. You know, we have the privilege of traveling around quite a bit and sometimes returning to churches every few years or whatever. It's amazing when you go to a church and several years later you see that the people are in the same seat they were in when you were there. It's a part of being a Baptist. I didn't know that when I got in, but I found that out later. Yeah. I was afraid that maybe the couple that sits up here that we got in their seat maybe offended them, but they were actually not feeling well. So we're going to be in Mark's Gospel, chapter 14. We were in a church. I won't tell you where it was, but I preached in the Sunday, taught in the Sunday school hour, and then went down and put my Bible and stuff at my seat and went to the restroom or something, came back, and somebody had moved my stuff. It's because I'd put it in somebody's place. You know, I've thought about that a lot, but I've actually found a Bible verse for that. We're Baptists, right? And that is in the Old Testament, whenever God was instructing the nation of Israel, and the tabernacle sat in a certain place, and then this tribe sat here, and this tribe sat here, and this tribe sat here, and they always went to their place, so it's just Bible. We're just Bible Baptists. Right? Matthew 14. We've been talking about, how God expects us to do what we can. It's not about what we can't do, but what we can do. And we're going to talk about that a little more tonight in Mark chapter 14 and verse 1. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, isn't that an amazing thing when you got something so special going on and people are murmuring and criticizing? Aren't you glad none of those people exist anymore? I've known some of them too. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, you may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. There's that concept, that principle. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. That's quite a commendation, isn't it? You know, if you're going to think about somebody, say, you know, I wonder what kind of an example I could look at, what giving looks like, or what yielding to God looks like. You know, this is a pretty good example. Jesus said, there's never going to be a day people aren't going to be talking about this. By the way, we're talking about it tonight, right? But Jesus said that. And her extravagance really is an encouragement. And we're just going to look at that simple subject, doing what we can tonight, all right? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for the, Lord, the example of this woman, Lord, who just went against everything that was the cultural norm and poured out her love upon you. And Lord, it does amaze us. And Father, the fact that you recognized her giving and you memorialized her act of generosity and sacrifice and worship. And Father, looking at her, sometimes we see that there's more maybe that we could do, not just in missions giving, but just in loving you and serving you and thanking you and pleasing you. So I pray you'd help us tonight. We need your help. Pray you'd work in our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to look at several things about this lady and this gift. But first of all, just the measure of our giving and the measure of her giving. The Bible is very clear. Verse 8, she hath done what she could. And she did a lot, by the way. When you look at the value of what she did a lot. It wasn't minor. It wasn't some miserly gift. She did a lot. But she only did what she could. She didn't do more than she could. She didn't do less than she could. She just did all that she could. And I think it's an encouragement for us tonight. And we just really want to think about that together. We can't do everything, but we can do something. And we want to do what the Lord would have us to do. I was just thinking through for a while today, Matthew's teaching about stewardship and how the landowner went to a faraway place and he divvied out his possessions to some he gave 5 talents and some he gave 3 talents and some he gave 1 talent. And then in Luke's gospel, everyone got a pound, and then he comes back and said, "Want them to give a reckoning of it?" And he didn't ask them to give a reckoning of what they didn't have, but what they did have. And so God expects the same for us. What are we doing with the talents that He's given us? And we all have some, right? We recognize that. I was thinking about a famous quote of a guy by the name of Edmund Burke. He was a politician back in the 1700s, an Irish born. And you've heard this quote probably, "The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing." But there's another less familiar quote of his that applies to what we're talking about tonight. And this is the quote: "No one could make a greater mistake than he who did nothing because he could only do a little." And that's really true. You know, we say, "Well, my time wouldn't matter, my contribution wouldn't matter, my prayer may not matter, my giving may not matter, and so does it really matter?" And the answer to that question, every bit of it matters. Every bit of it matters. She did what she could, and verse 3 says that she had this alabaster box of ointment, very precious, very expensive, very fragrant, perfumed ointment. And very costly, John's gospel says. And she poured it out on the Lord. I mean, this was just an extravagant expression of her love. We've seen this more than once in the Bible. Just a pouring out upon the Lord. Very precious. So extravagant that she was questioned about it. She was criticized about it. You know, even Jesus, they questioned him about it. And it'd be one thing if these were all lost people. And that we, of course, these scribes and Pharisees, there's the kind of people that would do that. But these were disciples. And one of the Gospels pens Judas is one of the primary ones. It was questioned, "Why do you let this do? We could have done this." And, of course, the writer of the other Gospel says he did that because he had the money bag, really. He was concerned about the money. But this was pretty valuable. It says it could have been sold for 300 pence. And I'm sure you know this, or maybe not, but... But pence was like a day's wages. That would be the equivalent. If you're looking for a measuring stick, what was a pence like? In Matthew 20, laborers were hired for a penny a day, a pence a day. So that would be so like a day's labor. In Matthew 18, a man was thrown in jail for owing 100 pence. And so this was not just a token gesture. This was not just something just to ease her conscience. This was an extravagant gesture. And by the way, we'll get to this, but Jesus is worthy of our very best. Amen. And we believe that. So we think about people in the Bible who did similar. How God would take what a person gives. We talked the other day a little bit about the lad with the fishes and the loaves, and how he gave what he had. And God takes when we'll just give what we have to God, God will use it. You know, when Elijah moved from the brook Cherith over to the widow's house, the Zarephath, And all she had when he got there was just a little meal and oil. She was going to make their final meal, and her and her son are going to die. I mean, that's everything she had. It wasn't a lot, though, right? I mean, just making enough. We don't make homemade biscuits at our house, but just enough to make a little piece of bread, and they're going to eat it. And so Elijah says, well, why don't you make me one first? And then you can take care of yours. And the Bible says that cruse of oil and that barrel of meat lasted until the famine was over. Why? Because she did what she could. She just did what she could. And a person, I'm not talking about we wouldn't think this way, but some people would think, well, you know, why would God expect us to give him our life? Why would we expect God to give us our all? And I just want to remind us tonight that God gave us his son. I mean, we're only here because of a great sacrificial gift of Christ. The only reason we care, the only reason we have a testimony, the only reason we think this really matters is because God gave his best, his absolute best. And he daily loads us with benefits. He blesses us every day. And so as we look at this, we're thinking about, you know, this the measure of her giving. She gave what she could. And so we ought to think about, you know, what are we doing with what we have? Our time? You know, sometimes we squander time. Sometimes we're not good stewards of our time. Or what about our opportunities, the opportunities God gives us? And do we take advantage of those opportunities? Or our spiritual gifts that God has enabled us, God gifted us, and he wants to use us to be a blessing. And of course, we think about our tithes and our participation in faith promise. So how do you measure? How do we measure her giving? She did what she could, and that's what we want to do. I think faith promise is about saying, Lord, the Bible says it clearly. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. It ought to be a spiritual decision, but it's asking Lord to lead us. I don't think God's going to lead me, tell me, guide me to do something that I cannot, even with his help, do. But he is going to lead me to do what he can help me to do. And so we want the measure of our giving, and she is remembered because of what she gave. But a second thing I see in this passage is not only the measure of her giving, but the motivation of her giving. In verse 4, it says that there was some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste? For them it was a waste. By the way, some people think what you're doing right now is a waste. But this is not a waste. If it's God's will and we're doing God's will, it's not a waste. Some people look at missionaries who would leave their family, leave their secular employment, go across the ocean somewhere, spend their whole lives to help people that they don't even know. Why would a person do that? Why would you and I pray about not just giving our tithes and offerings as God has commanded us to do, but also to pray about what we could do in addition to that to get the gospel around the world, to help start churches? You know, why not spend it on ourselves? To them, it's like a waste. That's what he said. We could have used this money for something better. But I want to remind you, you can't use this money we have that we're giving to God for something better than reaching people with the gospel. There's no better use of our resources. And so what was her motivation, though? Verse 6, Jesus said it very simply. Let her alone. Don't you like that? Leave her alone. Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. This was her first motivation. She did it for Jesus. She did it what she did out of love for her Savior. He had, because of what he had done for her. And so we look at her, and her generosity could be traced to her love for Jesus. And by the way, that's our primary motivation too. We don't just do it to be noticed or appreciated. We don't do it, say, our church gives more than that church. No, we do it because we love the Lord, because what he's done for us. And if we love him, we're going to serve him, right? If we love him, we're going to give to him. After Peter made that terrible fall and denied the Lord three times, and Jesus and John's Gospels helping him, restoring him, and asking him three times, lovest thou me more than these? And what did he say? If you love me, feed my sheep. You know, our love for Jesus is shown in what we're in it. In that great chapter in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, where Paul is writing to the Corinthian church about grace giving and what we It's called faith promise giving. He said it's a demonstration of your love. It's to show your love for the Lord. And so we ought to do what we do because of our love for the Lord. Because, number one, He commands us to do it. He commands us to do it. We have been clearly and repeatedly commanded to take the gospel to the whole world, right? This is not an option for churches. This is the command of the Lord. We never have to pray about, Lord, do you want us to be involved in missions? We don't have to pray about that. God's commanded us to do it. And if we're going to take His word seriously, then we're going to get involved. So the question is not, Lord, should I be involved? The question is, at what level should I be involved? You know, what does the Lord want me to do? If we love Him, we're going to keep His commandments. And so we ought to do it because of Him, because He commands us, but also because this is His passion. He loves people. You know, if we're going to get involved in something, we ought to get involved in something that Jesus is serious about, that He cares about. And this is what He cares about, the lost people in the world. He's not willing that any should perish. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. So we do it because of Him. We do it because He tells us to. We do it because it's His heartbeat, is taking the gospel to people. But we also do it because of what He's done for us. You know, we owe a debt. You know, Paul said, I'm a debtor to the gospel. We owe a debt. And what? Why? Because of what's been given to us. You know, you think about this passage right here in Mark chapter 14. And it tells us that he was in the house of Simon, verse 3, he was in the house of Simon the leper. Now, it doesn't tell us this, so I'm speculating just a little bit, but I'm supposing that he was no longer a leper, that he'd probably been healed. Jesus went about healing people all the time, right? And John's gospel tells us that Mary, the sister of Lazarus, was at the table. And so Lazarus was here. You think about, so you got Simon the leper, he's been healed of his leprosy, I'm confident. And then Lazarus is there, he's been raised from the dead. You just think about what was going on inside this little house when they met together. And so it makes sense to me that there would just be this outpouring of love for the Lord. And I say that because the motivation for what we do ought to be for the Lord, because of what He's done for us. You know, it doesn't make sense to me that if someone has someone brought the gospel to you, that someone brought the gospel to me, if someone cared enough to give us the good news and tell us about someone who loved us before we were ever born and died on a cross for us and paid for our eternal salvation by His own shed blood, it only makes sense that we would want to respond, reciprocate that love in some way. And so why do we do it? What is our motive? We do it because He's commanded us to do it. We love Him and we want to obey Him. We do it because of His love for others. He cares about people. We do it because of what He's done for us. And I mean, what has God done for you? I know what He's done. I don't know everything He's done for me. I can't calculate it all. But what I know about Him, I know He's done a lot of stuff for us. And the first thing was He saved our wretched soul. He died for us and He redeemed us, and we owe our life to Him. I owe my family to Him. We wouldn't have had a family if it wouldn't have been for Him. We owe so much to Him, and our love for Him should cause us to have this unusual. This woman had an unusual, outlandish, really, love for the Lord that was expressed, and we ought to have that kind of love for the Lord. You know, you're never going to go overboard loving the Lord. And this is not just about what we give. This is about the way we worship Him, the way we serve Him, the way we avail ourselves to Him, the way we honor Him. You're never going to go overboard doing that, because no matter how outlandish it may seem to others, it's only appropriate. So why do we do this? We do it because of our love for the Lord. We care about the things that matter to Him. But also, we do it for others. People need the Lord. People need the gospel. All over the world, people need the gospel. No matter how far we reach, there's more people to reach. No matter how many places we send people, there are more places to send people.
no matter how many churches we start, there are more churches that are needed to start. I mean, so we do it for the Lord, but we do it for others. You know, how could we ignore that? How could we, you know, like I said, we owe a debt. You know, we owe a great debt. My wife and I were not interested in church. We didn't go to church. I never thought about church until we had gotten so far down and so had so many problems and struggles and difficulties. But there was a lady by the name of Nancy Ball. And I didn't know her, but my wife was a beautician, and Nancy Ball was one of her clients. And so Nancy Ball would be coming to see my wife. Actually, Nancy Ball and another lady from Calvary Hill Baptist Church. And over the course of time, they're just talking, and I'm sure my wife was just kind of saying, you know, we need help in our family. I don't know what she's saying to them. She's probably telling them what a wonderful husband I was and how blessed she was to have me, and, you know, why could God be so good to give her me? Probably the sort of stuff. Not really. But I'll tell you, at a time that we were as low as you could be, Nancy Ball convinced her, if you can just get him to church, then God might do something in his life. And so that's what it was. It was one person caring enough to, and I don't know how many times, I wish I could remember some of this stuff. I don't know how many times she asked my wife. I don't know how many times my wife talked to me about it, but I know this. It was all God. It was the grace of God. That's all I can say. We owe a debt. I didn't deserve that. You didn't deserve the blessing of God in your life. You know, God's been good to us. Shame on us if we ever get to thinking we deserve this. We don't deserve any of this. And so why do we do this? We do it for others, because there's other people out there like us that need the gospel. They need someone to tell them. They need someone to bring the gospel to them. And that's why we give. That's why we pray about it. That's why we do this. That's why we have this meeting. And so long after we're gone, I mean, if Jesus leaves this people down here on this planet, long after we're gone, then you're gonna continue to reap a harvest of people that you've helped around the world just by your praying and giving and serving. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? But if we fail to act, that act of, you know, negligence is going to be catastrophic. It's going to be eternal. So why do we do this? What is the, we know the measure of it, she gave all that she had. And the motive was she did it for the Lord. And we do it for the Lord. We do it for the Lord. I want everybody in our church to get involved in missions. But I can't control what everybody else does. But I want to be involved, right? I want to, because of the Lord, and also because of people, because of the needs. But I want to say this, and this may be something we don't think about often, but it's a good thing for us too. Giving is good for us. I mean, it seemed like I read somewhere, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. You know, it's good for us. You know, the best thing you can do with your life is try to help somebody else. And this is about what missions conference is about. How can we help more people? How can we do more to get the gospel out? How can we reach more people? You know, I think a person who, and I may have known some people like this. I think a person who just lives for themselves, they can't really be content. There's something wrong with that. Just your whole life is wrapped up in yourself, and so it's good for us. And not only is it good for us in this life, but we're going to reap the rewards of this forever. I mean, this is the only life we can see right now. But that's why Jesus. I think that's one of the reasons why Jesus left this in the Bible for us, because she's still being remembered. What she did is still being talked about, still being remembered. Why would we give to missions? Why would we, you know, give our life to serving the Lord? There's going to be a reward. We don't do it because we're going to be rewarded, but we're going to be rewarded. I mean, we're actually going to stand before Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ. And I don't know how that's going to happen. If you know how it's going to happen, you can explain it to me, because I'm not sure about it all. But I'm telling you, we're going to answer for the things we've done in this body as far as our service to the Lord. how we've used our spiritual gifts. That's what all those things about that stewardship is about. 5 talents, 3 talents, 1 talent. What did you do with what I gave you? And we're going to, and there's going to be rewards for that. I'm not doing this for reward, but you're going to be rewarded. It's going to happen. And so why would we do that? Because it's going to be fruit to our account. I believe, you know, I don't know. I had a preacher friend. He's been in heaven for many years, but he pastored a Southern Baptist church, and God called him to go to the mission field. I was a member of a Southern Baptist church at that time, and God called him to go to the mission field, and the Southern Baptist said he was too old to go, so he became an independent Baptist. And he became a good independent Baptist too. But he said to me one time, he said, "Brother Thomas, it's going to be amazing," talking about the judgment seat of Christ, "it's going to be amazing when all the smoke clears what's left, because all our work's going to be put to the test, right? So I don't know what's going to be left for my life. I'm sure there are things that I have done that maybe I did it the wrong way. Maybe I shouldn't have done it at all. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about works. Maybe I had the wrong motive. So when the fire is put to it, what's left is going to be gold, silver, and precious stones. But whatever's left, this is my personal view, whatever's left in my life or our life, I think Nancy Ball is going to reap some of that for reaching us with the gospel. I'm just telling you, it's good for us. It's good for us to try to reach people. It's good because God commanded us. It's good because God cares about it. And it's good because it's going to be good for us. Treasures in heaven. And, you know, I was just meditating on this some today about how people probably that we might not think really made that big an impression, or maybe didn't leave that big a footprint, but it may be that in heaven, they're going to be the people that really get a lot of rewards. You know what I'm saying? And so we don't do it just for the rewards. But you know, I was thinking about my mother today. If I had to make a short list of just a handful of what I would consider the most selfless, giving, serving Christians, my mama would be on that list. And I've known a lot of people. But a very simple woman, divorced, and raised 3 boys. And I was the middle one, the only one that was perfect. But she loved the Lord, and she loved the Bible, and she loved serving the Lord, faithful Sunday school teacher. And when she was in, not long after she got divorced, she had cancer, breast cancer, which took a lot out of her. And I wasn't old enough to really, or mature enough to really care about what she was going through. But then after that, she lost her eyesight. Not completely blind, but almost blind. She wouldn't, if I was in the room with her, she couldn't recognize me. She had to quit working. So now she's had this cancer and she's lost her eyesight. I can still see her sitting out in the front of her house, little frame house, with an open Bible in the natural light because it helped her eyesight, with a magnifying glass studying her Sunday school lesson. I'm just telling you, there are a lot of people, and you wonder, why do people do the things they do? They do it for the Lord. They don't do it for recognition. They don't do it for praise. And one of these days when they get to heaven, you know, the rewards are going to be given out. And God knows better than we. God knows better than we. And so I think about people like her, and I think from her vantage point today in heaven, from where she is today in heaven, you think she regrets giving all she gave in her life for serving the Lord? Not a bit. Not a bit. If we regret anything in heaven, we're going to regret not doing what we could. So we see that this woman here in Mark chapter 14, we see the measure of her giving, and we see the motivation of her giving. She did it for the Lord. We ought to do it for the Lord. And then we see the moment. the moment of her giving. And that was, her time was very limited. If you look in verse 1, it says, after 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread. So it's just about coming up on Passover time. This is not just any Passover. This will be the one where Jesus is offered himself as a lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. In verse 8 it says, when Jesus was explaining what the reason for this woman's extravagance in her love, verse 8, she hath done what she could because she has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. So her time was limited. I mean, she didn't have a week. She didn't have another month. A lot of times we think, well, when I get a little older, then I'm gonna get involved in trying to help people, or I'm gonna have more time to serve the Lord after I retire, or when the kids are out of the house. You know, we think like that, but in reality, we only have today, and her time was limited. Jesus is about to go to the cross. So this is a brief window of opportunity. Verse 7, it says, for you have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, you may do them good, but me you have not always. For her, it was now or never. And by the way, I think it's important that we kind of think like that. Jesus said we must work while is the day, for the night cometh when no man can work. And the truth of the matter is, we don't know that we even have another day. This is the only day that we've been promised, right? The only day that we have to live. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And so we have to think about not only her motive for her giving and the measure of her giving, the magnitude of what she gave, but we think about the moment of her giving. And it was now or never. I'm just really tonight want to urge us to think about this. We only have this moment. There may never be another Faith Promise conference for us. You know what I'm saying? We don't know how long we're going to be here. We don't know how long the Lord's going to leave us here. He may come for all of us tonight, right? What we're going to do, we have to do now. This woman was remembered because she did what she could. None of us have, you know, we could all say, well, boy, if I had that, or had more ability, I don't think I'm a 5-talent guy, maybe a 2-talent guy, I don't know. I'm certainly not, but whatever I have, though, it doesn't matter. The important thing is I want to do what I can, and I want to do it now. I'm going to put it off to another day. And I hope there's no one here that'll say, well, I just really think there'd be another day to come, but I don't think we ought to think like that. If this woman is the example, and she is the example, Jesus gave her to us for as an example of how we ought to do what we can. Lord, what would you let me do? And I don't know how it is in this church, you know, but I know how it is in our church. We've got a good church, but we've got folks in our church that aren't really doing what they could. And I'm not being critical of them. I know them. I've been there a long time. And for a lot of reasons, I'm sure. Let somebody else do it. And I don't want to get on a soapbox here. But I've known people my whole ministry. I've known people who were really overloaded with ministry stuff. And part of the reason they was because nobody else would do it. And really, it shouldn't be that way. You know, God has something for you to do. And you say, well, I don't know what it is. Well, let's sign up and say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'd be willing to do it. Do what you can. You say, well, I couldn't do that, or I can't do that. That's okay. Do what you can do. That's the whole point. This woman's remembered because she did what she could. And I want to do what I can. I was thinking about, we sang Blessed Assurance. We didn't sing it tonight, but we've sung it several times, and I love those Fanny Crosby songs, and that's a good one. She wrote that hymn, most of you would know that, along with 8,000 other hymns, an amazing writer. And the story, you know, for her life, in case you're new to the faith, or maybe you haven't really heard of this or forgot about it, but when she was just a few weeks old, she lost her eyesight. And it was actually because of she had a virus or something in her eye, and they treated it, and they may have even done something wrong that caused her to lose her eyesight. But another well-known hymn of hers is, "I Shall See Him Face to Face." The first verse says, "Someday the silver cord will break, and I no more as now shall sing. But oh, the joy when I shall wake within the presence of the King, and I shall see him face to face." I think about that a lot, seeing Jesus. But she couldn't see anything. But she's going to see him face to face. And tell the story saved by grace, and I shall see him face to face and tell the story saved by grace. And I was just thinking about this today and meditating on things. You know, I don't know what I'd have done with the difficulty she had. Lose your eyesight. Never ever remember seeing anything. She was just a few weeks old. She lost her eyesight. I don't know what I'd have done, but I can almost guarantee you I wouldn't have done as well as she did. I've read that at the age of 10, she began to memorize 5 chapters of the Bible a week. By the age of 15, she had memorized Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, all of the Proverbs, many of the Psalms. A blind woman. She died at the age of 94, and the words that are on her grave are found in this verse 8 we're looking at. On her gravestone it says, "She hath done what she could." Here, she couldn't see, a lot of things she couldn't do, but she did what she could. And that's what God wants us to do. Just do what we can. Don't be dismissive about what we could do. And like the preacher said, and it's very true, we're the same way at our church. We don't set a goal. We don't try to pressure people to set a goal. But, you know, if everybody just did what they could, then it'd be enough. And when Paul is writing about this matter of local church ministry and spiritual gifts and giving, he said, "I never intended that some men would have more than they should." I can't remember the language right now, but basically what he's saying is, if everybody just does what they're supposed to, it'll be enough. Now, I'm not an expert at reading people. I don't even try to read minds. But I can tell by response of people that you're on board with this. I mean, I'm not saying everybody's on board with it, but you're on board with this whole thing. We love missions. We're praying about what God would have us to give to missions. If God led us, we're going to give more. We want to be led by the Spirit. We want God to lead us. But there could be somebody here that you're thinking, you know, this is just not for me. Or maybe you're thinking, my little giving doesn't matter. Or maybe my contribution doesn't matter. I was reading the bulletin about the families that have the cleanup this week and the families that have the take care of the lawn this week. We have the same thing at our church. We have families that do the cleaning and people, volunteers. You may be sitting here thinking, well, I couldn't really sing in the choir, but you know what? You could do something. Everybody can do something, and everybody should be doing something, right? I mean, that's not just sermon material. That's what the Bible teaches, and that's what the Bible commends. What if when God looked at this woman and God said, you know, this woman is going to be memorialized forever because she did what she could, then that tells me that it really matters if a person will just do what they can, right? And that's what we want to do. We want to say, Lord, what would you have me to do? What is my part? What is my role? And I'm going to pray about that. I want God to show me. And money's a part of it. It's a big part of it. But there's no pressure. I hope you don't feel I'm not trying to be a high-pressure salesperson. Pastor Merrick, I know he's not. This is the pressure on all of us. Lord, what do you want me to do? God, we want to be obedient to you. But not just in the money. In praying for our missionaries and doing our part to reach out into this community and serving in the church. You know, I mentioned my mama because there's no doubt in my mind that she gave on a level of grace and commitment that far surpasses me. And I believe that. And so this woman here, we need those kind of examples. I don't want an example. I don't want to set as an example for me in my Christian life someone who never really seems to care. I want to set an example of someone who's doing what they can because he deserves that. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together, please. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed this evening. Doing what we can. Lord, what would you want me to do? What would you want us to do? What would you want our family to do? What could we do as far as getting involved in ministry, reaching people, inviting people to church, serving in the church,